2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Holy Father God, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even on a day like today, Lord, with constant satanic attack. And I thank you, Lord, for your holy word that gives us wisdom to know that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for your grace and the humility to tell the truth about the situation and to shame the devil and to be transparent about what is going on. And not be caught up in the foolishness and the lies that are so common in churches today of trying to make people think we have a perfect situation, for that is not the case. The truth is, the devil has used my baby son, who is normally more faithful and more dependable than this, to try to hinder your gospel from going out for some strange reason. And Holy Father God, I cannot help but believe it's not only the devil, but there might be somebody who's filled with the devil involved as well. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that you will continue to dig into it and deal with it, and continue to reveal to me all that is going on there, because this is highly unusual, even though we have had similar matters down through the years. I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. And Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures. For those of us who are saved, save those who are lost. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your mercy, your love, and your grace. And Holy Father God, I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have indeed bestowed upon us down through the years. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for all of the millions and manifold blessings you bestowed upon us. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for all of the salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings you have bestowed upon us down through the years. Wash and cleanse our hearts and minds, souls, spirits, and consciences in the precious blood of Christ. And I thank you, Lord, so much for, after years of battle, Lord, you have wired me and you've taught me that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. I'm not shocked by this. I know you're not. I do believe it is highly unnecessary and should not be. And I thank you, Lord, for leading me to deal with him about it. And I pray that he will learn his lesson to be prayerful, to be sober-minded, to be vigilant, to be watchful, and to be prayerful. And Holy Father God, help everybody here to learn that, everybody out there to learn that. And Holy Father God, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ once again that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias out of everybody in our family and out of everybody in the ministry here and out of everybody out there, whoever it may be. Cast the demon spirits of sabotage. Cast out the demon spirits of sabotage and cast out the demon spirits of hindrance, treachery, distraction, for all of, because the devil brought all of that against us today. And I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the devil has not only used him today and in the past, but others as well. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'd cast the demons of hell and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage, out of the lives of the people here who have that problem and the people out there who have that problem. And tonight give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Lord, from this place and from your people. For Lord, I believe your holy word that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I've been praying this all week long, reminding everybody here to pray all week long, to pray without ceasing. No doubt his failure today has been because it's a prayer failure like with anybody else. Not praying without ceasing, not taking you seriously, and being in the crucible of ministry like he is and that we all are, every day preaching your holy word, preaching your holy gospel. The devil, if you're not prayed up, will get you. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all of the wonderful, productive, peaceful days when everything went smoothly, decently, and in order. It makes us appreciate those days, and makes us and reminds us that we ought to always be prayerful, sober-minded, and vigilant in these days. And so, Lord, I do pray that you would help everybody who names the name of Christ. Help us all, Lord, to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would save those who are lost. For that is the crux of the matter here. The devil wants us to stop because evidently we're having a huge impact. Millions of people, thousands of people all across the country and around the globe are hearing the gospel repeatedly. While we stand before and stand between the living and the dead. For that is the issue. The devil wants all of this gospel preaching stop because people are being snatched from the flames of hell through the preaching of the gospel. For while I'm standing here preaching, others have been inspired to stand and preach as well, and to refocus their energies on the gospel. And not only that, people are being comforted through prayer who are losing loved ones, family members, like never before. Not only that, people are being healed through prayer. Not only that, but Lord, people are being revived again in your church. Certainly not all, but some are. And we thank you, Lord, for the platform that you've given to us and the influence that you've given to us, mainly on leaders and so-called leaders, ministers, servants. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that if we would do right by you, Lord, on an individual basis, for Lord, I told you last night how I felt about praying for some people, and I think it's your doing, it's not mine. But those who are willing to pay the price, those who are willing to say thank you for your chastisement, those who are willing to say, Lord, we need it, and Lord, we deserve it. In fact, Lord, we deserve hell. So thank you, Lord, for your mercy in the midst of judgment. For those who are willing to humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways. Help us, Lord, all to be that way. But Lord, if we are that way, we pray that you'll deliver each and every one of us from the distress and afflictions, troubles, problems, fears and anxieties, cares and worries from our hearts and minds, souls and spirits. Fill us, Lord, with your peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable, your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart. And Holy Father God, we pray that you deliver us from our tribulations and troubles and trials and testings and temptations and even tensions. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you deliver each and every one of us tonight from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, and to do right, and to act right, and to do that which is pleasing in your sight. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And Lord, deliver us from all spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, family, financial, legal, student, loan debt, student, progress problems, and cares and worries. We cast all care upon you, for we know that you care for us. Fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding, and your joy unspeakable, your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart. And Holy Father God, we pray, Lord, tonight that you would bless the service to come. And Lord, I pray that you would bless and protect our family and all other families and our ministries and all other ministries, all our church and all other churches, from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, evil people in the world. And Lord, place upon us the whole armor of God, cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ, and make us, Lord, to be whiter than snow. Surround us with a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Let's sing that song one more time. Ladies and gentlemen, as I continue to preach in your hearing, no new you, no new church, no new nation, no new year for anybody. This is part four. Allow me to repeat a few things that you can expect for the upcoming year and beyond, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, and then share one or two new things with you. Number one, expect more of the same. Number two, pastors, expect more pastors and church ministers and many others, or some other of God's people, will continue to be exposed for their sins because they refuse to repent of their sins, even in a plague. And then next, things will continue to get worse because God's people still refuse to repent of their sins, and they're not in a repenting mood, or people who claim to be God's people. For I am convinced many people who claim to be Christians have never been born again. I hate to say it, but I believe that we have some tares growing among the wheat right here in this congregation. And that's just the reality. Everybody who's singing about heaven ain't going. And so we need to pray for their salvation, and we need to continue to preach the gospel to them, and hopefully that their eyes will be opened and that they will come to know Christ as Savior. I need to see it right here. Things are going to get worse as time goes on. Some of you have probably heard the news that in just a few weeks, 2 million people have been infected, I believe is what they said tonight on the news. Over 2 million people have been infected. In just a few weeks, and that's with three or four vaccines, supposedly, things are going to get worse unless the church repents, humbles herself, prays, seeks God's face, and turns from her wicked ways and all sin, including the sin and the abomination of homosexuality. Don't you find it interesting that our Christian brothers and sisters wax eloquent on the sins of abortion, the abominations of abortion, and the sins of racism? But you don't hear anything from all of these so-called evangelical leaders about the sin and the abomination of homosexuality. And see, this is the abomination, this is the sin that God wants us to deal with and repent of, to show that we mean business with Him. And then He can roll back, and will probably roll back, some of the judgment, because there are some other sins that are in the church that need to go away too, that led to this sin. See, when you get to this abomination, when you get to this sin, that signals God that you have lost your way totally, and you're on the road of destroying humankind. And so God has to step in out of love for us, to chastise us and to bring judgment down upon us and deal with us. And I know some of you don't understand that, but that's because you probably are not saved, probably have not been saved long enough to understand. Maybe you have not read your Bible. But this is the thing that will trigger God's wrath upon mankind. Whoever you call yourself, whatever you call yourself, and whoever you think you are, you can call yourself Christian or whatever you want to call yourself. But if you persist in this evil here, you will be judged. And we have persisted in it in America, and we're leading the whole world to accept this heinous abomination of one ugly man with another ugly man, and a woman with a woman. And God is not going to tolerate that. God is not going to allow that to go on without judgment and punishment. That's all there is to it. And yes, there are other sins that led up to it. Adultery, fornication, side pieces, lying, hypocrisy in the church, ungodliness, unholiness in the church. Swinging in the church. See, the problem with sin is that sin will take you further than you want it to go, keep you longer than you want it to stay, and make you pay way more than what you wanted to pay. Now, but I want you to focus on the first two things. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go, always. 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 See? Sin has a heavy, strong appetite for more sin. It leads to more sin. See, and then watch this. Just like drugs, what they call entrance drugs and so forth, you get high off of this for a while, now you want to get high off something else. Sin is like that. See, so what happens is a young woman, young man, they commit fornication, and they do that for a while, and never married, And so they get married to somebody else, and then they start committing committing adultery. Then they're not satisfied with that. Then they move on to swinging, which many people don't know this is a homosexual thing. It's a outgrowth of homosexuality, and or vice versa, some would say. Or someone in the family starts in the marriage starts committing adultery. Then they get tired of that. Now they want to get two or three people in the bed with them. And before you know it, you got homosexuality going on. Women kissing on women, men kissing on men. See, this is the problem, and it keeps on going. Before you know it, they get a divorce. The people who were heterosexuals, they get a divorce, and guess what they do? They get involved in the homosexual lifestyle of wickedness and abomination. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, make you pay more than you wanted to pay. Number four, the American government, the U.S. government, will continue to be destroyed if the church does not convince the government to repent of her sin and of sanctioning the abomination of homosexuality and homosexual marriage. These are some things that you can expect to happen if we don't have wholesale confession of sin and repentance of sin, if we as God's people don't humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways and get back to Jesus Christ, our first love. I am telling you tonight, and I want you to hear me well, I've been telling you this for a while. We face the abyss. I've been telling you for years that God was doing a slow rolling, loving, merciful, gracious destruction of America, because we have waved our little puny fists in his face with our pride, stubbornness, and rebelliousness, and witchcraft, and adultery, and whoremongering, and fornication, and divorce. Their lives messed up with a bunch of ungodly foolishness and mess. Children trying to make somebody into a mother or a father that's not even their mother and their father, because so many parents don't have natural affection for their own children. And if the church does not repent and convince the government to do the right thing, because we are the people, we the people. No. You can't blame the presidents. You put the presidents in office. You can't blame the men and women in Congress alone. You put them there. Tree. Put the power in the hands of the people. And we're getting exactly what we want. And the powers that be, over the powers that be, that manipulate the people, this is what they want. Now they have a scourge on their hands, they have a plague on their hands, that they don't know what to do with. Even Dr. Fauci, with his optimistic self, does not know what to say now. And when it's all said and done, you can't just blame one man or one woman. We all have some blame because we all have sinned against God and done evil in His sight and refused to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways and repent. That leads me to our second passage of Scripture in this sermon, in this message, at the beginning of this year. No new you, no new church, no new nation, no new year. And here's what we want. Pardon me. And here's what we want. We want everything to go back to normal, including our sin. And I don't know why people think that way. I don't know why people even in the church who know better think that we can sit here and wish for and want to go back to the way things were when we have sinned so much against God. God has been extremely good to us, and He's still being good to us. God is showing great mercy in this wrath. You say, how can that be, preacher? With over 4,000 people dying on you, not getting sick, dying in the great nation of America. Nearly 4,000, day before yesterday. Nearly 4,000 died yesterday. Don't you find it strange that it seems like people are not getting this? Don't you find it strange that it appears that people are not getting the message? Not taking heed to the warnings? See, this is a plague, but it is a plague that you can get away from and you can stay away from and live to tell the story if God ever removes it. That's God's mercy. That's God's grace. And so when the man of God told the woman and her family that you all need to escape this famine and go someplace else, wherever you can find to stay, go and stay there. The lady obeyed. We got a whole bunch of people today who don't obey. And like one medical professional said out in California, so many people, there's a little town out there where people, everybody is getting sick and everybody is dying almost. In California, little town in California. People, the lady who was reporting had the camera to pan out, and the people couldn't even get into the hospital. They were sick folk outside of the hospital. People driving up, people coming up on bicycles, people walking up saying, I got it. And the nurses and doctors said, we're overwhelmed. One lady said it'll be 7 to 10 days before somebody gets a hospital bed. That's just a hospital bed, not an ICU. That's where they need to go. They can't even get a hospital bed. You know where they're putting them? Out in the hallway, sitting them up in a chair and then giving them an IV, and they got to sit up in the chair instead of a hospital bed because the hospitals are full. Yet we want to continue in our sin. We're so wicked and so evil. So that brings me to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Oh, yes, I know you know it, and I know you've heard it before, and so forth. But the question is, are you doing it with the right heart and the right spirit and the right attitude? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. That's a powerful word there, turn. And see, this is the crux of the problem. We have a whole bunch of prayers, a whole bunch of seekers. We have some folk who act like they're humbled down, but the turning there from their wicked ways, that's the problem. See, another problem with sin is not only will it take you further than you wanted to go and keep you longer than you wanted to stay and make you pay more than you wanted to pay. One of the reasons why is that way, and I don't mean to rhyme all the time. It is that way because sin is like a drug. Sin has a way of hooking you. And making you stay longer than what you were planning on staying. How do young women get all strung out with a man or some young boy, some boy or whatever? They get turned out. They keep coming back for more before they know they're turned out, and they'll never be the same. That's a word from the streets, turned out. See, that means she's hooked on drugs, on the drug of sex. And hardly anybody can save her at that point. That's what happens. That's how sin turns you out. That's why you stay so long. And see, the problem with sin is that third part. It'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay and make you pay more than you wanted to pay. See, once you get turned out by sin, sin will destroy you. Just like that drug will destroy you. And that's what has happened to so many so-called Christians. And turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This is a severe verse, but at the same time, a grace verse, a verse so full of love and forgiveness and mercy and grace. And we all know God to be this way. And if you don't know, read your Bible. You'll find from the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament, God is gracious and merciful and loving. And what do we say when we read the Bible for real? Well, we say, well, I am definitely not God, because I would not have forgiven these people of this right here. I would have destroyed them. That's what we secretly say, because we don't have the kind of love, mercy, and grace that God does. Long suffering and patience that God does. We just don't. Dr. David Guzik said, this wonderful promise is in the context of God's promise to answer prayer from the temple. Which he chose to hallow with his presence. He didn't need the temple. He chose to do that. God promised something special to Israel when they did humble themselves. Have you done that yet, child of God? You professor of faith in Christ? You Christian, you. Have you humbled yourself down yet? That's step number one. Let's get to the humbling. Stop thinking that you're all that. Stop trying to be seen and trying to be noticed and trying to be somebody, and just be what God wants you to be. Humble yourself down. Stop thinking that you're all that, because you're not. Stop thinking more highly of yourself. Isn't it interesting how people just think they're everything? They think they're just so wonderful and so proud. They're so proud and so arrogant. And have you ever noticed that the most proud and arrogant people are the dumbest? Their pride makes them dumb, because they refuse to read things. They refuse to be taught. They go off half-cocked. And see, this is the reason why you're seeing a president fall so hard. Because the Bible teaches that pride cometh before fall. Proud people don't want to listen to anybody. I told the president what to do. It's in writing, it's on audio, it's on video. I told him what he should do way back in the beginning of March. I told his advisory council what to tell him. And he didn't listen. I kept telling him every day. I had more briefings than the White House, trying to help them do the right thing. And I remember him saying, "I hope to God I'm making the right decision." And I knew then he was making the wrong decision. But there are some people you can't tell anything. They're full of pride, hell, and the devil, and they have to go on through life and learn things the hard way, and some never learn, and so they go to hell like Pharaoh. I call it Pharaohistic pride. It's a bad thing. I believe many people are in hell because of Pharaohistic style pride. They won't listen. They won't make the changes. They won't pay attention. They think they know everything. And they're the dumbest people in the room. That's just reality. I'm just telling you. Proud people are normally the dumbest, because they think they know everything, so they don't take the time to listen to anybody, and they don't learn anything. So the first thing, see, God, that's the first sin that God hates the most in the book of Proverbs, pride. See, God can't listen to me, and I say this advisedly, I say this very respectfully. God can't even help you if you're proud. Why? Because you won't let him. Some of you were here last night, and I told the Lord that you're doing your part. You're doing what you, and Lord, we know that. We know that you love us, and we know that you're chastising us, and we know that you want us to come through this and come out better people. But I told the Lord last night, I don't see it. I don't sense that happening. I wish I did. You say, "Well, you just don't have faith in God. You don't believe in prayer." No. No. I'm believing, well, just this past week, God has heard at least 7 of my prayers that I've been praying for a while. So I'm a big believer in prayer and God answering prayer and God hearing my prayers. I have great confidence in God about some things that I'm praying over. This is one thing that I don't have confidence in. I told the Lord for the first time verbally. I've been feeling this way for a long time, but I didn't want to say that. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I believe that God is doing his part and doing everything he can not to destroy us completely and just wipe America off the map, which I believe this is happening. We're in the process of America being destroyed as we know it. Do you hear me? That we're in the process. I said back in March, April, May, June, July, August, September, if we don't repent and come clean, if Trump does not do the right thing, if the Christian advisors don't tell him the right thing, if the church does not repent, does not humble herself and pray and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways and put a stop to the evil that the church is a part of doing, and that is the sanctioning, not only allowing homosexuality to go on in our society, and that's been going on for a while. But see, when you sanction as a church, as an institution of God, an institution of Christ, an institution of God as the family, and you messing with the family and you're messing with the church, and the church is winking at the government, at the president, and say, go ahead, we got you. We got your back. We'll help the people understand what you're doing, and so forth and so on. And the president is winking at the pastors, and they all in bed together. Some of them, half of them homosexuals, and or supporters of homosexuality, or on the down low. They're going both ways, just using their wife to be respectable. It's a demon spirit that has captured America. It's a demonic spirit. It's a demonic spirit. And you know that there are powerful men and powerful women who are behind this. For them to want to change bathroom rules that we've had since the beginning of time, a man who chooses to say, I'm a woman that day, can walk into a woman's bathroom, vice versa. That a 6'2", all muscle man who says, I am a woman, who chooses to be a woman, can run against a 5'2" girl in track. So something is wrong, people, and God is not pleased. So I know God has done and God is doing all he can do to save us from the mess we're in. I know that. I have complete confidence in God on that. But we are not willing in this society. And I say we because I'm doing the same thing Daniel did, the prophet Daniel. I don't believe Daniel did the stuff that Israel did, and forsaking God and all that. But to be humble, like Christ, to be meek, he included himself. I am in no way, shape, form, or fashion for anything homosexual, gay, sodomite, in any way at all. But I am a sinner like everybody else. And I'm not going to go around pointing the finger. And so I say we. And I've already told the Lord, I deserve the coronavirus plague. My family deserves it. Just as much as anybody else who's suffering from it. So Lord, we're not looking down our nose at anybody up in here. We deserve it just like anybody else because we're all sinners and have done evil. In fact, Lord, I told the Lord we deserve hell itself. Now, you would think that a family that's preaching the gospel every day and encouraging people to pray every day, and that you would never even think along those lines, but no, I don't think like that. And it's not because of me. I'm already dead. It's because of Jesus Christ. He's the one who's meek and lowly, and who makes me, by his grace, want to be that way. God promised something special. to Israel when they did humble themselves and did pray and seek God's face. There is something naturally humble in true prayer because it recognizes that the answers are not in self. The answers are not in self. God gave me a quote some time ago. I don't know if I can get it right. I wrote it down. One of the things about prayer is that it reminds you that you're not God. Prayer reminds you that you're not God, that you need some help outside of yourself. Prayer has a humbling impact. So that's why God said, humble yourself, pray. If you don't humble yourself, you're probably not going to pray. And if you don't pray, you're probably not going to seek God's face. And if you don't seek God's face, you're probably not going to turn from your wicked ways. When we're in a situation like this, and see, this is what many people don't understand, even in the church, our so-called evangelical leaders, our so-called, political leaders, they truly believe, many of them, that they can handle this. We're Americans. We've been through stuff before. We'll come through this. Is coming through it having 2 million people dead? That's not coming through anything. That's over 2 million people dead that were once with you. You're not coming out victorious just because you lived. You have suffered something and lived through something that you'll never get over. And that may always be around you and may always come back, like the bubonic plague. Some people think that the bubonic plague came through in 30 days and that was it. Nope. No, sir. It lasted a long time. It hunted people for years. It would act like it. And by the way, the bubonic plague or the black plague was brought on by the church, the corrupt. I don't care if you like it or not. The corrupt, wicked, evil, whoring around, lying, homosexual priests. Priests raping the nuns, having sex with the nuns consensually, having babies. Listen to me. The staunchest group of people against abortion are the people who, before the bubonic plague and during the bubonic plague, killed more babies than any religious group on earth, the Catholic Church. And that was the only church at that time. God got tired of their evil, the church's evil. And guess who was dying left and right like the people? The priests, the preachers, the so-called ministers. Yes, they were. Oh, yes, they were. The nuns who they killed, all killed the babies. Some nuns had little boys set aside for priests to rape. See, you're getting me upset. I don't want to have any high blood pressure problems here tonight, but I tell you, even when I think about it, and that's what's happening in the church today, but not only in the Catholic Church, but in the, Reformed Church, the Church of the Reformation, the Protestant Church. And I know some of you proud, arrogant, Reformed people Calvinistic people, you just think you're so better than much better than everybody else, and you know this mess goes on in your church and in Baptist churches and in Bible churches. Pastors got girlfriends on the side pieces, that's what we call them today. Don't bow your head yet, it's not time to pray. I'm almost done. God just sent me here to tell you the truth. See, that's what's happening, people. All this corruption in the church. And then want to blame it on a president, or blame it on Congress, or blame it on politicians. Yeah, they're not any good either. They're liars and corrupt. And God knows about that too. But God is more concerned about the people called by his name. You people right up in here. You people listening to me and watching me around the world. I know it's a bad night to preach, but God, because of Brady being on television, playing football, I know that. But I have to preach the word in season and out of season, no matter what Judas fights against me, no matter what devil fights against me, no matter what family member fights against me, I got to go on. See, but this is the problem. Don't look any further, my dear friends. Don't look to anybody. Don't look to the far right or the far left. Stop trying to blame them. And yes, a civil war is coming. The country is already split right down the middle. And this is, see, you think, well, see, it's because they don't stand for righteousness. You don't stand for righteousness, you devil, pastor. You got two or three girlfriends in the church. Everybody in the church that you knows that you got two wives. Sister Sue, who is your fine secretary that you just love to death, and your wife at home. You're not for righteousness. God is not worried about them. He's worried about you. And you pastors' wives who are cougars, instead of helping your husband win men to Christ and be the men of God they want to, God wants them to be, you trying to whore around with the young men in the church, you lying devil. Don't tell me it's not happening. I know it's happening. I guess that's one of the reasons why some churches are having what they call man church. To try to protect the men from the whorish cougars in the church, including the pastor's wife, Potiphar's wife, going after young Joseph. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray, man. I'm not praying right now. See, you don't like it because you don't like me talking about that. You don't mind me talking about the men, how no good the men are. You no good. See? You're just as evil as they are, as the men are. And you got somebody here who has your number. You can't fool me. You can fool your husband, but you can't fool me. That's what's happening in the church today. I think it was Flip Wilson many years ago who said the church of right now. That's what's happening in the church of right now. We're not talking about the Catholic Church back in the days of the Black Plague. And the reason why the plague kept coming back. See, you know, have you noticed people talk about plagues? They call it something else, pandemics and all that. This is a plague, people. Plagues come from God. These people talk about a pandemic that comes from a rat or a bat and all this kind of, or a cat or whatever. Whatever. They don't want to deal with the issue. Well, how did it come from the rat? I don't want to deal with that. But do you notice that these doctors, these medical professionals, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there are many doctors and nurses and nurses' aides, they're not taking the shot. Thought I'd tell you that. One doctor in great health, great life, great wife, great children, great house, great car, everything in perfect health. He took the shot and died. Now, there's some medical professionals in the thousands who will give you the shot. I guess, and sit back and watch what happened to you. Because they're not taking it. Now, I've never heard of a shot that the doctors won't take. I never heard of anything like that before. I've never in my life. I'm old enough to remember smallpox shots and stuff like that, and this, you know, this, that. But I never ran across a doctor or a nurse or a nurse's aide that wouldn't take the shot themselves. Everybody had that little, unique little circle on their arm that stayed there a while. We weren't scared of a shot. We were children. We didn't like getting poked with a shot. I mean, but we weren't scared of what's going to happen to us. We didn't think we were going to die. But there are doctors and nurses in the thousands who say, no. I don't know how they say it, but they say, no, no. No, not me. I'll wait a while. You better be careful. If a doctor died in good health with a perfect life because of the shot, you do what you want. You do what you want, man. Okay? And I have so much more to say to you tonight, but I'll say it to you tomorrow. The Lord tarries is coming and we live. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God in heaven, I praise you and I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your love, and your grace. I thank you, Lord, for how you led me to deal with a heavy satanic attack, Lord, today, and an attack of Judas against your work. Not me, because I'm already dead. And I thank you, Lord, for leading me to dig down deep and to realize what the real problem is. And I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias out of everybody here and everybody out there. Lord, who have this problem, for I am convinced many, even in the church, are demon-possessed and demon-controlled. And I pray in the name, the all-powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I've been praying for years, cast them out. And Lord, I do pray that you'll give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, even tonight, even as we will be having another service tonight. Let your will be done, and not our will be done. And Holy Father God, I pray that we would never have the demonic problems that we had this morning and tonight. It is highly unnecessary and very costly. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, thank you so much. I knew that you were going to show up and show out and move in a mighty way tonight and speak to our hearts with such power and clarity. And I do pray for everybody who names the name of Christ. And Lord, I have to be honest with you, and because you know what is in my heart, you know what you have placed in my heart. And Lord, this is a prayer request, Lord, honestly, that I do not even want to pray. I do know that in your word you have told people, I think it was Jeremiah, was one of them, not to pray for the people. Because there's no help for them, no hope for them. And so, Lord, I'm trying, as I told you last night, I'm trying to be as complete as possible and hope against hope. And so, Lord, I humbly pray that you'll help all of us under the sound of my voice and beyond, live and on demand. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves and help us to pray, to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. Lord, I believe that that is a great prayer request and a good prayer request. And I know that, Lord, you want it to come to pass more than I do. Lord, no doubt, as our Heavenly Father, you feel the pain of rejection, even though you've been so good to us. I marvel at your humility and your meekness and your lowliness of mind that I am so careful to even bring up, so, and I bring it up in a respectful way. But it takes all of that meekness and love and lowliness of mind to take what we, evil, so-called religious people, saved people, have done to you. Marginalizing you, pushing you past at the periphery of our lives, not calling on you, not praying to you, not worshiping you in sincerity and in truth. Yet you continue to bless us, and as you know, Lord, better than I do, I cannot imagine a nation more blessed than this country, being a young country, than other than Israel. And yet we have disrespected you, dishonored you, disregarded you, ignored you, have taken you for granted. And Lord, all of these things, especially taking you for granted, is hated, I know, by you. And yet we have done this to you over and over again and repeatedly, continuing in sin, living in sin, staying in sin, and then donning the pulpit to claim to be preaching your word. And so, after much warning, the plague came, and the plague is sitting on us now. Over 4,000 dead in this great country, 2 days ago, nearly 4,000 dead, according to the false count yesterday, and no doubt it'll be close to that again tonight. And the breaking news tonight is over 2 million or 200 million or something to that effect, something bad, have been infected in this country. That's a lot of people. And so, Lord, it is my prayer, my humble prayer. I know it is your desire for us to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways and repent and get back to you, our first love. I know that you have done and you're doing all that you can to help us to do that. This plague is designed to get us to do that. But Lord, humanly speaking, I'm not feeling that. I'm not sensing that. I would love for that to be the case. Now, there are some things, Lord, as I told you last night, that I am praying for, that I feel very confident about, and I have great peace about. In fact, you answered about 7 or 8 of those things over the first week of this year. And that's why I was a little bit surprised at the demonic and satanic and Judas attack against one of the blessings that I thought was solidified and was squared away. In fact, I know it was, and I know it is. But the devil has struck again, and I thank you for showing me immediately what it was, that it was not the programs, it was a person. And I pray that he would humble himself and pray and seek your face and turn from his wicked ways. And I pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons and his hosts, from his heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and help him to be the young Christian man that you want him to be. And I thank you, Lord, for the principle of telling the truth and shaming the devil, because some things are inexplicable outside of the devil working against your work. It is the strangest thing for Judas to betray Christ, who loved him so much and who let him have positions in the church, and yet he had a devil. And when the opportunity presented itself, he betrayed you. Lucifer, who you created to be so beautiful and so musical, and gave him a position in your church to glorify your name, yet pride and envy took over his wicked heart, and the beautiful, lighted Lucifer became the devil, the first Judas, and the first betrayer, the first one to sabotage, try to sabotage your work. And that's one of the things, Lord, that you have taught me, that these devils and demons and Judases and sabotagers and Jezebels and Tobiases and Sanballats, all they can really do is try to hinder and cause a problem. If a person, however, is wired the way you wired me, your work will go on. If we pray and stay close to you and read your holy word, and that's what has happened tonight. And I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for that. And I pray that, Lord, as one has been, and several have been rebuked openly, that others may fear. And we pray now that you'll save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. Have your Holy Ghost to not give them rest until they come to know your Savior. Now, Lord, I do have more confidence about this prayer. I have more confidence about praying for those who are lost getting saved, as so many are dying. We are literally standing between the living and the dead. So, Lord, open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears. Grant me your energy, your grace, your strength, your anointing, your unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray and to preach your holy gospel, and to preach your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I will pick up this message at another time. But right now, if you were to die tonight, and you could die tonight, or in the wee hours of the morning, where would you go? Heaven or hell? If you don't know, you need to listen. If you're not sure, you need to listen. If you already know and you are saved by the grace of God, you need to invite somebody else who's on their sickbed, who's in the hospital, who's driving to the hospital right now. And you need to make sure they turn on their device and listen on how to be saved from hell, because I guarantee you that if a person dies unsaved, a person dies not believing in Jesus Christ, within a moment of time, they will open their eyes in the torments of hell, the burning hell. So first of all, dear friend, you must understand that you are a sinner, just as I am a sinner, and that you have broken God's laws. So have I, because the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have sinned against God. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever perjured yourself in court? Have you ever taken God's name in vain by cursing and using his name, or swearing and using his name while you were telling a lie, using his name? Have you ever dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected your parents? Have you ever lusted after somebody or something in your heart? Have you ever coveted what other people have? Have you ever stolen anything? I believe that you have answered in the affirmative in most of those things, if not all of those things. That means that you are a sinner. You are a sinner by nature and by choice. Because of our sin, we die. We die physically, and our bodies go to a grave. If we have died not knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior, our soul goes to that awful place called hell, the place of torment, the place of pain. For Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." This includes physical death and spiritual death, death in the grave and eternal death in hell or the lake of fire. Many people are dying today, and the truth of the matter is some are going to hell. Some, hopefully, are going to heaven. The truth of the matter is many are going to hell because preachers, pastors, have not preached God's word and have not warned people of the eternal burning hell. That's why I preach on it at least twice a day, because I want to give as many people as I possibly can an opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. So how can you be saved from this awful death? For it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. How can you be saved from this awful place called hell, the lake of fire, that Jesus, by the way, preached on more than anybody else in the Bible? Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose on the third day to save you from hell. Ultimately, that's the reason why. Yes, God will give you joy in this life. God will give you peace in this life. God will lead you and guide you in this life, but you will get everything you need and want once you go to heaven to be with God and Jesus, with the saints of God and with the angels. You have all the peace you'll ever want, all the joy, all of the love and happiness and everything else. So ultimately, Jesus Christ came to save you from hell so he can spend eternity with you in heaven. So hell is a very real place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. For the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you. If you're in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," that's Jesus Christ, "that whosoever," the word whosoever means anybody at any time, "believeth in him," Jesus Christ, "should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. It is as simple as that. And in this day of living and standing between the living and the dead, in this day of death, you need to do this right now, dear friend. You don't have to get into a church to get saved, a church building. You don't have to be in a church to get saved. You don't have to go to church to get saved. You don't have to be a member of a church to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to work for the Lord in the church to get saved. None of those things will save you. Just simple belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just follow the instructions of Jesus Christ. Notice what he said very simply. Whosoever believeth. The word whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. Makes no difference if you are a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent. You can get saved right where you are tonight. Whosoever believeth. Believeth means to have faith in. Trust in. Whosoever believeth in him, that is Jesus Christ. He was speaking of himself. Should not perish, but have everlasting life in heaven with God in Jesus. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your destination changes. You will not have to go to hell. You will instead go to heaven. You don't have to work for it. It's all free. It's already paid for. My baby son and I ran across a program which is just very interesting, very strange. They have it's a great program. But they have on it something I've never seen before. They have a version that's free forever. That's what they say on the program. Free forever. This salvation, dear friend, is free forever. It's never going to change. You'll never have to pay for it. You'll never have to worry about the price going up. Besides that, you don't have enough money to pay for it. Even Bezos does not have enough money. The other guy who just passed him does not have enough money to pay for it. Now, they may think they do, they don't. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Free of charge. It cost God everything. He gave up his only begotten Son. It cost Jesus everything. He gave up his life for you and me to save us from hell. Salvation, therefore, dear friend, is easy and free. So all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. Believe in him tonight, and I'll be more than happy to lead you in the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. And Holy Father God, I have sinned against you. As the preacher talked about. In fact, I committed some of those sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. My failures and my faults. As I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Holy Father God, I thank you for the free gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for saving my wretched soul. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul tonight. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and present. And help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in Jesus Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell. And you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. And congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. And that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, go to GospelLightSociety.com. And read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer.